word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That reading was from the first chapter of John's Gospel. And today we begin our journey through the story of Jesus in the Gospel of John. We read the prologue just before Christmas, and now we get into the story of Jesus on earth. As we walk through John together for the next few months, it's important to keep in mind the purpose for which John wrote. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. He describes it at the end of the Gospel, so that we may be sustained and nurtured in our faith that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing we may have abundant life now and forever. And in our text today, we see the first disciples coming to believe. John the Baptist, not the John the Gospel is named for, and actually John the Witness is probably a better name for him in this particular Gospel. He was typical of the prophets of his time. He had a group of people who followed him, both physically and spiritually. And as those disciples heard John declaring that his cousin Jesus was the Lamb of God, they wanted to learn more. And what followed is really kind of a strange conversation. So John's disciples, a couple of them, followed Jesus after John had pointed him out. And when Jesus saw them, he turned and saw them following him, and he said, "What are you looking for?" And rather than directly answering that question, maybe they didn't even know the answer, they asked one themselves, answering a question with a question, "Teacher, where are you staying?" Which seems a little bit of a strange question. I might hesitate to answer that. But maybe they knew that they needed more time with this one that their master they were following, John, had declared to be the Lamb of God. And like the disciples, Jesus also didn't directly answer the question asked him. He rather gave an invitation, "Come and see." And all of this feels like, well, a rather unhelpful dialogue if you're trying to get some answers. But it must have been meaningful, because Andrew, one of those men, the only one whose name we're told, went to find his brother Simon, who might have been busy mending his boat or taking care of some fishing nets, untangling them. But whatever the important job Simon had been doing, Andrew's excitement, "Hey, come with me, we found the Messiah." Well, that was enough to make Simon curious. So he followed Andrew to Jesus, who, before introductions could even be made, not only called him by name, but gave him a new one, Cephas, Peter, the rock. The next day, Jesus had another interesting encounter. He found Philip and simply said, "Follow me." And Philip did. And then Philip found Nathanael, who, unlike these other disciples, was rather more skeptical about this stranger from Nazareth. But when Philip echoed Jesus' invitation, "Come and see," Nathanael did. And his interaction with Jesus convinced him that this was indeed God's Son. Jesus didn't rebuke Nathanael's skepticism, but instead assured him that he would see greater things than he had ever seen. Greater things than Jesus knowing who he was and having seen him under a tree when he was nowhere close to Nathanael's yard. It's really a short little interaction. There's not that much dialogue. There's more action in all of this. But the phrases that are recorded, I think, are powerful ones. And I want us to look at some of them a little more closely. Jesus' very first words in John's Gospel are the question he asked Andrew and the other disciple who followed him. "What are you looking for?" As we start a new year, I think that's a pretty important question for us, both as individuals and as a church. How would we answer that question? A better job? A bigger bank account? A larger or smaller house, depending on what stage of life we're in? A snow day to give us another break from school, more time with family, my cell phone, my glasses, a vacation, a quiet moment, peace, wholeness, love, acceptance, growth in our congregation, children filling our halls, a balanced budget, a way to serve our community meaningfully. There are so many ways that we might answer the question, what are you looking for? But the true answer, the truest answer, is exactly what the disciples were looking for, a relationship with Jesus. St. Augustine wrote in his Confessions, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." From that, Blaise Pascal wrote something that has often been slightly misquoted, but meaningfully, as a God-shaped hole in all of us that cannot be filled by anything else. And in this time of year, when we're often tempted to make resolutions or set intentions, those aren't bad things in and of themselves. I've set some intentions every year too. But it's important for us to realize that nothing we can say or do or achieve or obtain, nothing will bring us the deep joy and abundant life that Jesus promises. Because what we're looking for, what we're all made for, is relationship with God through Jesus. And once we realize that's what we're looking for, we seek to be close to Jesus. And then we model our behavior after Jesus. And that's exactly what happens in our scripture today. When the disciples realized that what they needed was simply to be close to Jesus, thus their question of where he was staying, Jesus responded with a simple invitation, another of those short phrases from our scripture, "Come and see." And those words were then repeated by Philip as he invited Nathanael to come and see Jesus to find the answers to his questions for himself. And we'll see again and again as we read through John's gospel together that this is the perfect picture of discipleship in this gospel. Noticing what God is doing in our lives, sharing that with others, and inviting them to come and see for themselves. John the Baptist starts that, right? He simply shares the wonder of what he sees and knows about Jesus. And then Jesus gains his first disciples because of that. People who will carry the message eventually to the ends of the earth. Jesus invites them to come and see, to leave their home and families and embark upon God's great adventure. And Andrew tells his brother he really ought to meet Jesus, and the rock upon whom Jesus will build the church falls into faith. From the very beginning of creation until now, God delights in taking little things, things the world may look at as nothing important, and doing something wonderful through them. When our lives have been changed by Jesus, we should want to invite others to come and see. This may mean sharing what God has done for us, telling what a Bible verse has meant to us, inviting someone to join us at church where our relationship with Jesus has grown. Evangelism makes us nervous. Well, let me speak for myself. Evangelism can make me nervous. Maybe it doesn't make in part because it's been done pretty badly a lot of times. But being a disciple of Jesus means that we don't stop with just noticing what God has done for us and being grateful, but that we share it with others as an integral part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And I know it can feel awkward to invite others to come and see for themselves. Our initial attempts at sharing our faith, our tentative small efforts, that can feel strange to us if we haven't done it. Think for a moment, when was the last time that you talked about Jesus with someone who's not a member of our church or already a follower of Christ? When is the last time that you invited someone to join you? or told them what God was doing in your life, invited them to church. If you can't think of when the last time was, it might be a good time to begin practicing inviting others to come and see. Because the God who brought light from darkness, who raises the dead to life, wants to and will do marvelous things, even through our small efforts. We just invite others to come and see. After all, that's the promise Jesus made Nathanael, right? He said, "You will see greater things than these." In other words, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I wonder how much we really believe that deep in our hearts. Do we believe for ourselves that we will see greater things? Do we believe for our church? God has an amazing vision for you and for our family of faith. Sometimes I think we pray for vision while we hold our eyes clenched as tightly closed as we can so that we won't have to see it, rather than taking a risk like Nathanael, even when we already believe nothing good can come from the circumstances we're in, as Nathanael believed nothing good could come from Nazareth. But as disciples of Jesus, we are promised that the best is yet to come. Not just in heaven, but here on earth, as we work with God to bring about the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. We've said today is Epiphany Sunday. It's the day when we celebrate the coming of the Magi, guided many miles by a star. But Epiphany is more than that. The word Epiphany means revelation. It means to see clearly. And it's the day when we celebrate, the season when we celebrate the manifestation, the revelation of Christ in Jesus. And just as John revealed Jesus as the Lamb of God to these first disciples, Jesus longs to be made known more fully to each of us. He says to each of us, "Come and see." As you came in today, you were invited to take a star from the offering plate. And I know it's a little strange to take things out of the offering plate. It's not something we always encourage, instead of putting it in. But I think it's a good reminder that we receive gifts from God long before we return them to God, long before we're ever asked to give. So take the star that you got, and if you didn't get one, be sure that you get one as you leave today. If you're worshiping with us online, we would be glad to get a star to you. We can, you can call or email the church office, or call or text or email me, and I'll be happy to pull a word for you. Look at your word. That word is a gift to you from the Spirit. As I wrote the words, I prayed over each star, and I believe that God has guided us to the word that we need for the year. May not know why yet. Last year my word was hush. I wasn't all that excited about that, y'all. But it was a good reminder to listen to others and to listen to God. And I encourage you, I know the temptation is to go through and pick a word that you want, or to trade your word if it's not one. Yeah, Mark, I know. Yes was not the word you wanted. But I want you to hold on to it. If you're not sure how it applies or if it makes you a little uncomfortable, that's okay. If you have family members at home and you want to pull a star word for them, that's fine too. But don't choose what you think they need to hear. We'll let the Spirit do that. Keep your star where you see it all year long. You might want to hang it in your car, put it by your bed, or where you'll see it somewhere in your house. And see how God speaks to you through the gift that word. Perhaps it can be your reminder that what you do with what you've been given matters. On this Epiphany Sunday, we celebrate the ways God has been revealed to us. And And we recognize that we have the responsibility and privilege to invite others to come and see who God is too. That's how what we're looking for will be revealed to us. And that's how we'll be ready to receive what God has for us, the greater things that are yet to come. I hope you will accept that invitation to come and see.